Ed, you know, a lot's been happening over the past few days. Euros, broadcast deals, it's all happening, mate.
Yeah. As a very knowledgeable man once said, it's a great time to be a football fan in this country.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fantastic. Copa America as well. We're going to touch
on
Copa America.
Of course. We've got Socceroos, Matildas, it's all happening.
Exactly. We've got a big guest coming up in probably about 30 seconds.
Not even, mate.
Even quicker
Not
than
even. I can make that like 10.
All right, let's do it.
All right. We're joined here by Sydney Morning Herald's Vince Regari. Vince, welcome to the show.
Thanks, boys. Although big guest just feels a little bit much. You guys probably need to work on your guest obtaining abilities, I reckon.
We'll keep that behind the iron curtain for now, the F&R iron curtain. Vince, the big news, obviously, in the last couple of days is Channel 10 acquiring pretty much the rights to every single game of football in Australia for the next five to 10 years, it seems. Give us a breakdown on what this deal is and what it means for football in Australia.
Yeah, so obviously about a month ago, a little bit less maybe, 10, got the A-League and W-League rights, five-year deal worth about $200 million. Today was the announcement that they would be also getting the rights to the Socceroos and Matildas matches for the next 3.5 years outside of World Cups. In addition to that, a whole bunch of AFC national team tournaments, including the next Asian Cups for men and women, Olyroos tournaments, Junior Matildas, all that jazz, and the FFA Cup, which is also exciting and, personally speaking, one of my favourite parts about this deal. All up, I've been told it's worth roughly $100 million over the term of that deal. Well, obviously, not all of that is cash. There's going to be a significant amount of contra in that. And I would imagine a significant part of that will be FA basically taking back or getting back the money that they would have spent on these rights in the first place. They had to buy them off the AFC's marketing arm, Football Marketing Asia. So they would have paid them a reasonable amount of money, packaged it together with the other stuff that they own, which is mostly the Socceroos, Matildas, friendlies and the FFA Cup, obviously. And together, that's a pretty good proposition to take to a broadcaster, especially one like 10, who, if we didn't think it a month ago, we certainly know it now that 10 is like fair income about, you know, making something out of football and making it the number one sport. And $300 million, even if, you know, half of that is contra, it's not nothing. That's a significant amount of money to spend on a sport. And they've put enough money behind it for them to now have to make a success of it, which is, you know, another part of the excitement behind this deal is that, you know, after a difficult few years for football in Australia, where we've, you know, suffered under this sense of apathy under our current broadcaster, Fox Sports, we've done so much for the game in 15 years, but obviously things have tailed off in the last few. We're now, in the next few months and years ahead, going to go back to a broadcaster that's excited about it, that sees unrealised value and potential and wants to bring it about, not only for the betterment of the game, but the betterment of the game would mean the betterment of 10 overall as well, which is the sort of, that's the perfect sort of self-interest you're always looking for in business, you know, when interests converge, which is, it's fantastic. And just thinking back to where the game was 12 months ago or, you know, a little bit more when COVID hit, everything was up in the air. We've landed in a pretty decent spot, I think, which is something of a relief, that's for sure.
I mean, a big part of it is this cross-promotion as well and, you know, looking to commission a children's program which is focusing on participation in football. I guess, you know, that's quite a significant part of it as well because, I mean, the eyeballs that are on shows like The Project and MasterChef as well would certainly help, I guess, you know, get those eyes on the game, which is sorely needed.
100%. And this is sort of when we talk about, as football fans, feeling like our game is invisible to mainstream audiences, this is the exact kind of thing that should hopefully combat that. You know, it's hopefully just going to, you know, bit by bit, story by story, news bulletin by news bulletin, obscenely stupid MasterChef or Master Singer crossover, all those things added together over a period of time, even if it's just on one television network, will hopefully just, you know, restore a little bit of that relevancy in the minds of everyday Australians about where football sits, where the A-League sits, where the W-League sits, the Socceroos and Matildas. All of these things contribute to that, which is really cool. And honestly, you know, you can carve up the numbers however you want. You know, the deal's worth this much, et cetera, et cetera. But there's a bit of intangible benefit, I think, that probably isn't even included in the contra, which is just having a broadcaster who wants to make this work and will therefore cover stories when they're there and do things justice, and just show a bit of love to the game that we think, or we all know, has been missing in recent years as well. So it's really cool.
I'm really hoping there's a Channel 10 executive out there pitching the idea of masked footballer to all the other board members at Channel 10. Wouldn't that be great?
Oh, jeez.
Wouldn't that be fantastic?
I think it's only you, mate.
Only me.
Do we have any footballers who can sing, aside from Joey C, who technically isn't a singer?
The masked DJ.
That's a good question. There's only one way to find out.
Well, Ryan Scott loves Skeggs.
Yeah.
He could do a cover of Waiting for the Weekend.
I guess we'll just...
Maybe. Vince, how important is it to have football in front of an audience like Channel 10 has, where they're young, they're seen as quite progressive, maybe even seen as just as far away from Fox Sports as we could possibly hope? Do you think that's an audience that has been out there for football for a while, and how important do you think it is that we're capturing it now?
Yeah, definitely. I think all the numbers that 10 have and the A-League and Football Australia have had match up in terms of the demographics. 10 is the younger of the free-to-air networks. I think we all sort of know that just from our own experiences and watching things on 10 over the years. And football, I think, in Australia, in under 35s, football is the number one sport. So it makes sense to marry those things up in that way, for sure. And I think other ways that sort of those synergies will take hold is also on Paramount Plus, which I think, when they launch in Australia, is going to include a fair bit of content from, like, you know, MTV and Nickelodeon and these sort of things. So just having football adjacent to those sort of properties from you know, big American brands that are children-focused brands on the same streaming platform, it's just, you know, it's not the silver bullet that's going to fix everything, obviously, but it's just you can understand why for 10 this deal makes a bit of sense. You know, the matchups there, they're quite significant. This children's show is, the idea of that is it's really cool. You know, to think that, there's no chance you could ever envisage something like that happening on Fox Sports recently, and maybe because they don't have that younger reach that we're talking about here. You know, although I'm pretty sure they do have a fair degree of children's channels on Foxtel as well. I got rid of my Foxtel a while ago, so I don't have access to them. But,
yeah, as we all did or should have.
Cartoon Network back in the day went off, all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that stuff's going to be on streaming services now, you know, and all that Nickelodeon stuff, you know, is going to be on Paramount Plus. And yeah, let's see if 10 can make that count for football.
I mean, the other big thing in all this is that, you know, Optus are looking for their free-to-air partner for the Women's World Cup. You heard anything, you know, potentially would, you know, Channel 10 put themselves in the hat, you know, or put their name in the hat, sorry, because, you know, they've got 2 years sort of until now, almost a bit of a dress rehearsal for it. But do you reckon that they're a legit chance to potentially get a couple games for that as well?
I'd imagine they're a red-hot chance. I didn't ask the question of the 10 executives today simply because at the A-League broadcast announcement, I asked the question of whether they'd be interested in the Socceroos Matildas rights, and they gave me nothing. So I figured I'd not ask another question that would get nothing as an answer. But I would be absolutely flabbergasted if they're not already deep in talks at Optus, because I distinctly remember talking to the Optus brass the other day when they were announcing the Women's World Cup deal. And they mentioned that they wanted a free-to-air network that wasn't just going to show the matches on free-to-air, but would also sort of, you know, show them the love that Optus themselves want to show the tournament and actually go on this journey and with them and you know, give football, I guess, the degree of love that we think it deserves. You know, and that's what Optus want from their free-to-air partner. And so, I mean, 10 are ticking all those boxes right now, making all the right noises. So, you know, let's see if they actually do what they say they're going to do. I think as football fans in Australia, we've been used to a fair few sort of promises not being kept and false dawns and all those sort of things. But it just seems like a match made in absolute heaven for Optus to, I guess, you know, give those free-to-air rights to Channel 10, who are going to spend, the next 3 to 5 years absolutely, you know, pumping up football, which is going to be fantastic. So, yeah, I would imagine that's going to happen. I'd no evidence to back that up, but like I said, I'd be stunned if it wasn't already in train.
Vince, before we let you go, we can't not ask about the Euros. Have you been watching along any late nights? We had our own Josh Parrish wake up at 3 p.m. this afternoon because he was watching the Euros. Do you have anything similar?
I haven't, not yet, mostly because they started, was it Saturday morning or Friday night or something like that?
Mm,
yeah. So I had to do the Swans game on Friday night, and then I had to do the Socceroos at 2 a.m. on the Saturday morning, I think it was, which is a massive mission. And that threw out my body clock for the last few days. So I will hopefully dive into it. It's good to see that Italy, the nation of my heritage, are good again. And I feel like even before Ange went to Celtic, I've felt somewhat weirdly attached to Scottish football. I feel like they are like the other side of the coin to Australian soccer.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like there's a lot of... We talk about synergies and things matching up before. I feel like Scottish FIFA Twitter and soccer Twitter are just like, you know, just it's meant to be.
Mm.
So I feel like getting behind Scotland, but I better do that quickly because they're probably on their way out, right?
Mm. Mm. Well, not if you hear Lachie Flanagan, who posted the XG statistics in the group chat with just an angry react, and we haven't heard from him since. Speaking of Ange Postecoglou, we haven't had you on since that appointment. We'll get your take very, very quickly. What do you think of Ange making the big time?
Oh, it's mental. It's I've said it before on Twitter and probably somewhere else, but it's the biggest story in Australian sport for me.
Mm.
We've never seen anything like this, an Australian coach coaching a club that big. I've got no reason to think that he's not going to make a raging success out of it. And it's just fantastic for the game. Like, the other way it feels to me is, you know, especially the last few years in Australian football, we've been shrinking as a game. You know, things haven't been going well. But every so often, a story comes along that reminds you that Australian football is part of a bigger picture. You know, we're part of the world football ecosystem, even though sometimes it feels like we're not. And that you get that feeling when a player transfers to a big club overseas, or when the World Cup is on and the Socceroos are playing. And I feel like Ange at Celtic is going to give us that feeling sort of on a weekly basis, you know, which is extremely exciting. We're going to be waking up every morning or most mornings for the next sort of few years to the latest news out of Glasgow and biting some, you know, Scottish journo's head off, or, you know, some Rangers fan is like throwing a Molotov cocktail into his car or something like that. It's going to be insane. It's going to be so good. And I honestly can't see him not knocking it out of the park. Sorry. So I'm all in on this bad boy.
I never would have expected an Ange Postecoglou and Steven Gerrard rivalry to happen in general, but I'm so glad that it's happened.
Fantastic.
So it's Football Manager stuff, right?
Yeah,
It's honestly, what the hell? It's crazy.
It's crazy. All right, Vince, well, thank you so much for joining us and for talking some European football, which is exciting for us to hear your takes on that. We'll let you go. Thanks very much. We'll talk to you again very soon.
Pleasure, boys.